You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Bachelor Madden Podcast. This is the ad we're doing beforehand. We're trying something new. Normally we do all these shout outs, and we're going to do it right now early before you even start the podcast. Today's episode is brought to you by Kesko and Super Party Battle. They, the company that I own, came out with a cool game. You can buy it on ThinkGeek.com right now. We are also doing a crazy cool contest using the Anchor app. Ben, why don't you explain that really quick?
Yeah, actually, the Anchor app is like Twitter meets podcasting. We have a station called 10 Minutes of Modern. It's the official anchor station of the Masters of Modern podcast. It's daily content, about 10 minutes of it. And if you download the app and favorite the station before December 1st, so you have a couple more days here, you get entered into a drawing, which is going to be that every Friday in December, we're going to be giving away a foil modern staple, Scalding Tarn, Liliana of the Veil, Snapcaster Mage, and Tarmogoyf foils. And to do that, to join in and enter, you have to download the app, call in with your favorite magic card. That's how it works. Instead of tweeting, you call in. And then do one of the other three things, which is the Patreon, leave an iTunes review, or join the Facebook group. If you do two of those things, one of them being Anchor, one of the other two, you're entered in to win free cards. And that's that contest. So
make sure to also check out our sister podcast, The Command Zone. They do awesome, great Commander content. They also do like competitive Commander videos called Game Nights, where it's like a reality show about playing it. They're also on collected.company, which is the website we are on. Make sure also to check out the Facebook group. It is where all of our discussions happen. It's where if you want to get early previews of what we're going to talk about in the episode, we often bring it up there. Also, last but not least, make sure to donate to the Patreon. Our Patreon is how we make this happen, is how we buy equipment. We're going to start doing videos very shortly, and it's why we are able to do that, is that Patreon. Anything helps. We really appreciate it. And then make sure to follow us on Twitter, at TheMMCast. I'm at Kes Wiley, and
I'm Ben Bateman Media.
All right, so once this music ends, we'll start the episode. Thanks, everybody.
Welcome, travelers. We're aware that your journey was difficult, but prepare to have your questions answered, for you have been granted an audience with the Masters of Mod.
Music. And welcome back to Masters of Modern. I am your host, Alex Kessler. We're here with my co-host, Ben Bateman.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the show. We have an exciting top 10 show for you today.
So we haven't done one of these in a while, probably because we did all the five main colors and artifacts, and we've done most of the permanents. There's a few we're leaving on, but we're now going to start our series of two color pairs.
Yeah, exactly. There's a couple left, enchantments being the one you just mentioned, right? And
yep.
And definitely some directions to go, but yeah, the two color pairs.
Are we going to do tribal cards?
Maybe. There's a lot of top 10 space that we
can do. If we do tribal cards, I feel like we should also do like the automaton or like cards that
Metallic
work
Mimic
with all tribes.
Yeah, right.
Okay, we'll figure that one out later. Today we're doing top 10 Azorius cards.
Yeah, so there's a couple things that are going on. We're going to cover a little bit of news right now that inspired this. There's a big issue in the Magic community this week that we want to talk about. We'll get to that in a second. There's the fact that Jeskai decks are blowing up everywhere, all over the place. Exciting times right now to be a
Jeskai
white player.
Blue-white has been really good since maybe the last year. And there's a very specific reason why that's true that we'll get into a little bit later in the podcast, because it might be close to my top. It's definitely my top five. But for those who don't know, Azorius is blue-white. So
yes.
We will be discussing the top 10 blue-white cards. And if people haven't listened to our top 10s before, the way it works is me and Ben have each separately created our top 10 lists. We're going to, for all intents and purposes, battle them, counting down and then explaining why we think each card should be there. And then hopefully we towards the end, we get kind of close. So it ends up being about a top 15, really. And then we also do a top five honorable mentions. And when we do the top five honorable mentions, that ends up being more of a battle that you get to actually vote on Twitter for. So we each have one and they battle them, and then you get to pick which one, and the winner gets to get a dinner. So far, I am undefeated.
Well,
but Ben has also not bought me a dinner yet, so
I do not acknowledge the wins. So there's like a handful of things that go into the reason that we think the Azorius is great, and right now especially. So Alex mentioned, we'll get there. One of the other things that has happened is that both blue-white control and Jeskai Control have been dominant in Modern over the course of the last 6 months to a year. We've seen a recent trend of Geist of St. Traft decks that have popped back up. That's been a cool thing to see. We've definitely seen some of the newer blue-white cards that have popped up that have been good showing up in these decks. And we've seen multiple different versions. Where this last weekend saw PPTQ with a Kiki Jiki combo deck with Splinter Twin and Pestermite showing up as a Jeskai build. That was cool to see. Two copies in the top 16. There was a blue-white control deck, I believe, in the top 32. And we continue to see more and more and more of that. So that is what's going on there, and that's why we're going to talk about this. The other thing that I mentioned is there is a major controversial topic.
Yeah, so for people that don't know, and I would be surprised if you don't, and we're not going to get too deep into it, but during the Thanksgiving break, a high-profile cosplayer in the Magic community that has been profiled on Wizards, she's the one that was playing Abyssin through all of Shadows Over Innistrad block, due to the harassment that, in general, women are
subject to
just by being content creators on the internet. And then on top of that, a specific high-profile Magic YouTuber laid into extra harassment into her for the last year, MTG Headquarters and his 150,000 followers, and she left the community. And, you know, I have my post that I posted on Twitter that I will probably read because it kind of succinctly gets what my problems with the situation is. And, it, you know, this is a community that's meant to be welcoming, and anyone in it that makes people feel unwelcome or unwanted is something that should be condemned. And the extent of that, what this happens and the regularity that it happens is not okay.
Yeah, it's not really, this is not like a witch hunt. We're not here to stand on a soapbox and say that there's a right and a wrong, and there's a single person who's right and a single person that's wrong. That's not really what this is. It's really more about the toxicity that gets shared so much from these sort of like faceless accounts on the internet from mostly men towards women in a really misogynistic way, I would say is the heart of it. But it's more than that. It's just general people harassing people. And it doubles down when one person gets criticized, and then the criticism from that person's fans get thrown back to the other person, and it creates this web of negativity. And what ends up happening is you can look back and say, well, this is where it all started. And we should be very clear, by the way. You mentioned there was harassment. This is not the sort of thing where if you look this up, you're going to find a screenshot of a single tweet, and that's what this is all about. It's systematic. It's like a bunch of different things that have built on top of each other.
And the professor at Tulare Community College did a really good video of kind of laying out an entire timeline and with tons of screenshots and video footage. And it's a little, it's you know, warnings. It is rough. The subject matter is rough. So you know, definitely recommend if you want to know more about it there. But when it comes down to it, is these people are using classic bullying tactics that are hurting people, and they're doing it in the way of the bullies. It feels like stereotypes of the kid shoving a kid in the locker, and then the teacher rounds the corner, and they like straighten his shirt out, and it's like, oh, we were just having a good time. It's just a joke.
Yep.
But that little kid's going home and crying every night because this guy's, you know, a bully and picking on people, and
right.
It's not okay. And you know, if you are finding yourself in a situation where you're doing that kind of stuff, stop.
Yep.
You know,
straight up.
The point of the Magic community is it's a home for everybody. You know, everyone here has been bullied in some way. This is a nerd community. That's kind of the point. Don't turn what, you know, you probably suffered by in high school and turn it on to other people.
Absolutely.
So back to blue-white cards.
Yeah, I mean, that last point on that just before we move on is if you want to go find anything out about this, there's lots and lots and lots and lots of information out there. Don't get sucked into the narrative. It's not worth it. It gives attention to somebody who doesn't deserve it. Just remember, be respectful. Be respectful of people. Support women. Support support people that are being persecuted. It's a good time right now to stand up for those that don't have the strength to stand up entirely on their own. And
right.
It always is. But it's a good opportunity to show who you stand up for, because this is the moment. Like you're being given an opportunity. We're all being given that opportunity right now. Anyway. Azorius cards. That's what we're here to talk about, really.
Yeah. So blue-white's probably my favorite two-color combination.
That's crazy, considering how bad the cards on this top 10 are.
Well, it's the top five cards here are all real good. And I would say even my top 7. I love my top 7. I don't love my top 10.
I've got two words for you, Alex. Aven Mimeomancer. That's a white card that prevents people from searching the top, other than the top.
Yeah, I don't know why. That's not a blue-white card. I don't know what you're talking about. We'll get to that later. All right, so do you want to just get started?
Yeah.
On number 10s?
Oh, man, my number 10.
My
Holy
number 10,
moly.
My number 10 is sweet.
Oh, there's no doubt about the fact that when I say bad, I do not mean not sweet. I mean, my whole top 10 is sweet.
I don't know if that's true. But all right, so number 10. Do you want to go first to me?
Oh, I'll go first.
All right.
Steel of the freaking Godhead.
Oh.
Yeah, this is a real deal card. This is not a bad card at all. This is originally printed in Shadowmoor. It's hybrid blue, white, and two for an enchantment aura. You guys probably know what it does already because I've talked about it a lot. Enchant creature. As long as the enchanted creature is white, it gets +1/+1 and has lifelink. As long as the enchanted creature is blue, it gets +1/+1 and is unblockable. Classically, this is a sweet 3-mana enchantment that would be most notably put on a Geist of St. Draft, and then the Geist would be attacking as a 4/4 unblockable lifelink. Really good. Especially because it's on a hexproof creature.
You may have incepted me, and we're going to get into Steel of God in a second because I have it higher than me, and I think it's through Inception.
That's so sweet.
My number 10 is Swans of Bryn and Argol. I don't know if I even said that
once. Wow, yep. Steel of the God is $2? Holy
so,
moly.
Swans of Bryn Argol is a 2-mana blue-white hybrid creature bird spirit flying. If a source would deal damage to Swans of Bryn Argol, prevent that damage. The source's controller draws cards equal to the damage prevented this way, 4/3. So this was a standard powerhouse, and but it does something very unique and specifically goes infinite with cards like Assault.
No.
Seismic Assault.
There you go.
And other, you know, direct damage spells that you control, so you use it to draw cards and then draw in the more damage spells. So it's classically used in decks like that that let it kind of go off, and on top of that, it's a 4/3 flyer, so it's really hard to kind of deal with because it prevents all damage even though your opponent might draw some cards. It's seen some play in Modern. The one theme of this is that the two color combinations are going to just in general be a lot more shallow.
Right.
It's not like there's 900 blue cards that we had to go through. There was like one page on Decked, the app that we use, so I think 117 blue-white cards.
Yeah.
And I think there is one card that didn't make it onto my list that like maybe has seen real play, and yep. That's Judge's Familiar, and I don't even know if it has. I didn't include it. I don't think it deserves to be here.
So this is actually higher for me on my list.
Okay.
Swans. I'll talk about Swans when I get to Swans.
It's like it was on the edge because it hasn't seen a ton of play. It's seen some play randomly, but right. It also was always going to be a card that was either going to be in my number 10 spot or in my like 5 honorable mentions, and I decided to put it in the 10. I think it deserves it.
It's like a sweet. I mean, I think that Swans is the definition of a sweet card, but I'll talk about Swans more when I get there. Before we move on from Steel of the Godhead, because I'm not prepared to move on from that card just yet.
Well, I have it on my number 8.
Oh, so we'll talk about it a little more.
I mean, the number later, higher up on here.
Okay, fine.
Number 9?
Yeah, I'll get to my next card then. We'll save that one.
Okay.
My number 9 is going to be Dragonlord Ojutai.
Mine too.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. Look at that. Yes, guys, you're picking up on the fact that this is not exactly the deepest. This card has pretty much seen, like, maybe a couple years ago in Splinter Twin sideboards when Splinter Twin was still legal and people would play, like, Twin.
I've seen Ojutai in blue-white sideboards randomly as just one of the things to consider for your control. Like, there's, like, 5 good control finishers that are all probably a B, and he's one of them. And it's like whatever one you feel like is good against the deck you're bad against. But
it's a really good card. Like yeah. It's well designed. It's powerful. I like this card a lot. Like I think it's like one of my. It's like one of my favorite cards that. How do I like put this into words? It's one of those cards that I feel like it's not that good, but it's good enough. It's not that expensive, but it's
dominated standard.
But it's expensive enough. Mm-hmm. It. Never has made that much of an impact in any format aside from standard, really. But it's a good enough card that, like, when someone plays it against, you're always like, yeah, that card's really good.
And people always will make and try and make dragon decks work, and he's one of the key cards for that deck. Especially because it's the best dragon tribal card from that set was the blue counterspell.
Yeah, right.
And so having a dragon in your hand like Ojutai is really good with that card because it's just a straight-up counterspell if you have this. So
for
there's
sure.
some power there. Inherently, and I think this card is just always going to be important for that deck archetype, and eventually that could go somewhere. Enough dragons or enough dragon tribal cards happen.
It's also a
Jeskai
cool,
dragons could be a thing.
It's also a cool design because the idea that he has hexproof when he's untapped, that when he attacks, he loses hexproof.
Yeah.
But otherwise, he's a blue-white dragon, so he's like, he just like chills back in the cut. You can't find him.
That was actually in Super Party Battle early versions when it was like way more like Magic. That was one of the mechanics we had because there's a lot of underwater pirate people.
Oh, really?
And it was like sharks would be underwater, so you can't get them until they attack you.
Underwater in Super Party Battle?
Yeah, originally it was like a fantasy world, not on college.
Oh, campuses. Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's fun. I didn't know that.
All right, number 8.
Number 8 for me is going to be Swans of Bernagle.
Oh, sweet. You had some stuff to say there.
Here's my Swan story. All right, so back in the day, like, when this card was in standard, when this card was originally printed, which, like, I want to guess it's lower in block, it's following Time Spiral block. That means that's like 2007, 2008 probably. 2008 sounds about right, about 10 years ago. I played a lot of Magic around that time, and I loved Swans. It was a card in Standard that was like a thing people liked. When I moved to Los Angeles, I remember it was about a year before I moved to L.A., I was like consolidating my Magic collection, and I was like, yeah, you know what? Swans is just like a sweet Magic card. But back then, I didn't really understand the concept of Magic finance. Like, it didn't occur to me yet the way that trends worked, like when things would be expensive, when they wouldn't. And I traded good cards. I don't even remember what they were, but I know they weren't standard. I traded real Magic cards, like, that had been valuable. And I traded them for foil Swans. Right before Swans rotated out of standard, for some reason. I don't even really know why. I just thought Swans was super cool, and I wanted to have a playset of foil Swans. So I traded for a playset of foil Swans, thinking, like, I'll be stoked to have these one day. And then a year later, when I was in LA and I was going through my Magic cards, and I like came across my set of foil Swans, I was like, oh, yeah, I got these. They were worth nothing. They were worth, like, a buck or two each. I had taken like a solid 1,000% loss on this trade, just fully unaware of like that was how things worked, because like there was just no precedent for Swans to be worth any money. Modern didn't even exist yet. They literally were living in some weird world of Extended where like no one was playing Swans in Extended, and I had a playset of foil Swans, and I don't even have them anymore. That's how sad things are. I don't even remember like what I did to get rid of them, but that was a thing. So that's my Swan story. Card sick. Always loved it. Always thought it was really cool. Cost four. It's too expensive for Modern to actually be a thing. Like, you can't play it. If it was a 3/2 that did the exact same thing for 3 mana, it might be a little bit more playable.
Okay.
But I guess I could still see this in like a deck where you like play it and you like gutshot it and draw a card off gutshot or something. Maybe.
No. I mean, like, there it goes infinite with
Seismic Assault.
So like that's the best thing to do with it. It's just, and now that Lomit and Seismic, I don't know. I think that's probably the best thing to do. It just hasn't happened yet. There needs to be like another piece to that deck that exists that makes the problem with Swans is always that it's blue white, and like that deck really wants to be Junt. And
yep.
So like figuring out how to make that Naya needs like a good reason to exist, and
yep.
It hasn't happened yet. Number 8. That was your number 8, right?
That was my number
8. Number 8 was Steel of the Godhead.
Oh yeah, that card.
I put it a little higher because recently I saw 5-0 competitive modern league on Modo, and it was in that deck. It was a Bant Spirits list that was playing it.
That card is sick.
Yeah. So
also, can we talk about how sick
and
that
is? And you keep talking about it, so I assumed it was doing something.
The art is so good. It's like
it is really good art. I bet that foil is really pretty.
Yeah. Well, it's also one of those. It's also one of those cards.
It's playing one in this deck, but it's in the main deck.
It's also one of those cards where you look at it and you're like, that is everything that the card, like that the character design from that block was about. he's like some weird like.
He's a Kithkin. Yeah.
Yeah.
Were there any blue white Kithkins? I didn't see a single one looking up blue white cards. I thought Kithkins were like.
No, they're mono white tribe.
Yeah. So.
Here's
what
a piece
is this enchantment doing?
here's a piece of trivia for you.
Mm-hmm.
What is the name of the Kithkin Lord?
Gaddictig?
No. There's a white Kithkin Lord. It's
oh,
like a
two, all
it's a,
Kithkin get plus one.
Yeah,
plus
yeah, yeah.
One.
It's the.
I have no idea.
You don't remember? This is.
I think we should move on from.
This is a deep cut. It's called Wizened Sen. That guy right there. Look at that. Yep.
I'm neither glad nor sad that I know that information now.
The one thing I will say about Wizened Sen, just before we move on from this, just because I thought about this the other day, I had a whole conversation on Anchor about 2-mana lords and the fact that Merfolk having obviously 8 copies is one of the things that makes it so good. And the question somebody was asking was about tribal, like how many other tribes have that and should they get those types of lords, the 2/2s for 2?
Mm-hmm. I mean, but Merfolk was a deck in Legacy before the second four 2-mana lords.
Because
the tribe has been printed so often and all the cards are good.
Kind of. But
if we had 25 years of Kithkin being printed, I'm assuming there'd be better Kithkin lords. Also, that one doesn't give anything but +1/+1, right?
It's still an interesting statement on their part when they designed Kithkin, and this was a long time ago, this is 10 years ago, that they were like, we feel that this tribe is the right design and not wide enough because we've never printed Kithkin before that we can print a 2-2 for 2 currently. Like, that's a thing we can do. Because aside from Merfolk, that's not really something they do. They,
illusions?
Yeah, true.
No, normally when they're trying to push a new tribe that, like, kind of could be cool but doesn't have enough support in the long run to make it dangerous to make it that powerful, they'll do that to kind of force
they'll give
it into
you the
2-2
two for 2.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
And, you know, I mean, they're hobbits. That's what Kithkin are. That's, yep, like, what they're trying to do there. All right, number 7. Moving on. What's your number 7?
I'm up with my number 7. It's going to be a card called Frog Captain. Oh, Drog Skull Captain.
Okay. I knew this would be on your list.
Autocorrect.
I wonder what my higher card you don't have.
I don't know. I'm sure I missed one real reasonable card. This is not on your list. I love it.
No.
Drog Skull Captain should be on your list. It's worth 74 cents. This card is a spirit soldier.
Steel the Godhead is worth $2.
Yeah. I was shocked about that. This spirit soldier, blue, white, one creature flying, other spirit creatures you control get +1/+1 and have hexproof. He's a 2/2. I've been championing this card for literally years. This card's been out for 5 years, and since it was in standard, I've wanted to see this card in modern. Guys, I think Modern was announced shortly, like right around the time this card was printed. This has actually seen some play. Like, people have made spirits work.
Modern started right around Innistrad. This came out after Modern, yeah.
Yeah, like right around that same time,
within
a few months. This card sees play in spirits decks. People have made, like, Bant spirits is a thing. Blue-white spirits is a thing. Obviously, them pushing spirits a little harder recently with, like, Mausoleum Wanderer, and there's another good spirit that's on this list that we'll talk about later, makes this card better. This card is most famous for its standard impact back when John Finkel played it in that old Delver deck.
Is, like, it not most famous for Ben Bateman talking about it and how sweet it is?
This card is sick.
I probably should have put it on my list. I did it mostly to spite you.
Yeah.
I don't know why I put Steel of Godhead then.
I mean, this card also works well with Steel of the Godhead, to be completely fair, because it gives your other creatures in the same color hexproof, which means that enchanting them with Steel of the Godhead is much better.
Have you tried doing that in a deck before? Is that something you've tried?
I think I have. Again, classically, the card here that comboed with this that was so good in Standard, which is, like, still a thing people do in Modern, is Phantasmal Image, because as soon as you have two copies of Drog Skull Captain, they give each other hexproof.
Sure. And also, then, Lingering Souls is really good with it.
Yeah, but I mean, I was going to say the drawback of Phantasmal Image is negated if you have, what's it called?
Yeah.
So, anyway, I love this card. I've always wanted this card to be better. It's not. I have, like, 13 copies of it. I just found them the other day. It's still only worth 74 cents. I went heavy
on
foils.
It's only going up until they reprint it in a set where Spirits is a draftable archetype in Modern Master or something.
I'm so glad I didn't go heavy on foils in this card. Pay like $2 a foil. Just, like, they're still worth nothing.
I wonder how much the foils might be worth more than that.
Yeah. I have 44 Gloom Surgeons. That was a bad buy.
Yeah. All right. My number 7 is Meddling Mage.
Mm.
One of the first invitational cards.
Chris Pakula.
Yeah. Blue white. When this enters the battlefield, name a card. Opponents can't play that card. Classic card, seeing a lot more play than it ever has recently in humans decks that keep top 8-ing SCGs. It's probably why I would maybe have it been higher if those humans lists weren't doing that well earlier than this last week, or have done well. You know, there hasn't really been Modern GPs or anything else that they've top done super well in, so I don't want to put it too high yet. But I think it's always been a decent card. It's been sideboard, seen play through the entire history of the format. Actually, literally from this point on, these are all real cards. So, like, I would say first three were not.
It was worth a lot of money at one point, Meddling Mage. It used to be, like, a very rare card before the reprint. This card's, like, a really interesting one. I've always said that I thought Meddling Mage deserved a little bit more attention. I've actually... Every creature on this deck I've tried to play with Steel of the Godhead at one time. unsurprisingly. Meddling Mage specifically, though, is, like, a really interesting card. It's, and they've made it worse.
We just renamed the episode Top 10 of Reasons to Play Steel of the Godhead.
They've made it worse since banning Gitaxian Probe. Like, definitely Meddling Mage is way better if you can for free see their hand and draw a card.
Which is why, like, it's seeing a lot of play in humans, because you have the 8 different ways to look at their hand.
Kite
in the deck.
Sail Freebooter. Yeah, for sure. And like... Yeah, it's not the best. Obviously, a 2-2 for 2, it's very easy to play around. It's kind of dead later in the game. It's just a bear. It doesn't do anything. But the fact that it's a human, the fact that it's blue and white, the fact that you have now another human to see their hand with. I've tried playing this in Esper decks, where you play Hand Disruption on turn 1, and then you play this on turn 2.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those magical Christmas land things that always seems like it's going to be better than it is.
Right.
It's kind of whatever.
Yeah. No, but I mean, it's seeing play now. It's a really good card. Seeing play forever. Probably see play forever unless they print something better than it, which I would be surprised of. What's your number six?
My number six is a little card that I like to call Reflector Mage. Reflector Mage is one of those cards that we talk about where it's like, oh yeah, this was banned in Standard. Turns out it's actually really good. This sees lots of play. This sees play in the Humans deck. This sees play in Bant Nightfall. This sees play in Steel of the Godhead decks. This sees lots of play. Recently, it's seen a lot more play. It's just one of the most frustrating cards to play against ever printed. It's a 2/3 for 3, which, as we mentioned the other day, or I think we mentioned the other day, or maybe I mentioned the other day, it used to feel like 3 toughness was a thing in Modern that you had to really pay attention to because of Lightning Bolt. But since Bolt's a little less prominent than it used to be, it, in some ways, these days, actually feels like 2 toughness is more relevant. Like, does it die to half of Kolaghan's Command? Does it die to Collective Brutality?
Yeah, but getting it down to that 2 mark, there's just a lot, like, everything kills it, versus if it's at 3 or better, it like, dodges half the good removal.
That's
like
what
it,
I mean, yeah.
Yeah, specifically, yeah, I guess Collective Brutality and
Kolaghan's Command. Those are just and such prominent cards.
And random decks are playing, because of Delirium, they want to play something like a Tarfire, or they're just, like, random other shocks out there that just, like, this is better against.
For sure, Pyroclasm.
Right.
Like, it's not, in no way is 3 toughness significant in the way that
also blocked,
4
like,
used to be. Like, it's not that definitive. Like, that used to define Modern.
Sure.
These days, for me, it's like, I notice if something is a good card that has 3 toughness versus a good card that has 2 or less. Like,
also, a 2/3 is really good in the format as from a defensive perspective because it blocks Snapcaster Mage, it blocks Bob, there's like a bunch of 2/2s and 2/1s in the format. Like the format is filled with those, and having a 2/3 that just sits there and is a roadblock for those is just going to be better than being a 2/2.
Yeah.
Because 2/2s trade.
And this card is...
Well, and also it's just good. I have mine. It's in my list. It's just higher.
This
it's
card...
Like, it's like way higher.
Reflector Mage?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, this card's also like... It's one of those weird ones because so it bounces a creature and then they can't cast till the next turn. So it creates tempo and like half a card with the bounce. And the fact that it bounces the card and they have to wait to play it an extra turn almost feels like it's like 2/3 for 3 that draws a card. Like... I think that those 2 effects combined
I think
for a card.
A 2/3 that enters the battle, like, return a creature to its hand is a card. People play that card. And
Nobody plays Unsummon in Modern, but, like...
Well, they play...
Vapor Snag.
And that's, like, yes, 1 life, but I say a 2/3 is, like...
Yeah.
Manowar was a card, a tournament-defining card 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Yes, it's 20 years ago, but also that's an era where, like, Necropotence was legal. So, like, this being that but better seems like a total, and I'll get a little bit more into like why it's why it's powerful. But
great.
My number 6 is Sphinx's Revelation.
You put Sphinx's Rev on the list?
Yeah, it sees play. All these new blue white lists normally play one ofs, and it's seen one of play in a ton of blue white control lists since it's existed.
Sick. I'm gonna argue this in my honorable mentions and crush one of yours then. Easy. Easy money.
But yeah, so Sphinx's Revelation is probably the best X draw spell in the format. I don't think that's even an argument. It was obviously the defining thing in Standard. Controlled X have played it forever. People don't know it's blue, white, X, draw cards equal to X and gain life equal to X.
Yeah.
And it's an instant, and it's kind of like there's always been like maybe 4 different card draw spells that blue-white would play main deck, and depending on how they wanted to go about it, this is always one of the main ones that are in consideration, especially if you're going for like the more hardcore blue-white control lists that are really trying to go late game versus like a Jeskai tempo deck, which it won't see as much play. But this has definitely been, you know, a staple of the blue-white Standard control deck. So, and we'll see that as we move forward a little bit on it, but this is definitely okay. So this is the one that Drogskull Captain replaced on our lists.
I think this is like a
legit card.
Yeah, it is. It's just like one of those cards that people have tried to make work and have tried to have a breakthrough for so long, and it always ends up being like a 1 or a 2, but it's always like when people play against them, I was like, oh yeah, that's a card. But like,
I don't think I get past 1 or 2 ofs until I get to number 4 on my list. And even my number 3 is like a 2 of in most decks.
Yeah. I just think Sphinx's Rev is like not very good in Modern. Like,
have you cast it before?
Yeah.
Because it's sweet.
Yeah. But it's people usually draw 2, gain 2. Or like draw 3, gain 3.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, but it costs 5 or 6 to do that.
But it's at instant speed, and you could have not cryptic commanded them that turn.
In modern, like 6 mana, like I just don't think about modern that way. I know games go there, and I know that like if that's how you build your deck, it's just I don't think
this of is, it. This is Ben's tempo bias, where he actually like says he likes playing sweet things, but he only wants to play 2 drops, flash creatures, and removal spells.
Yeah, that's exactly right. If it costs more than 2, it's like I get
he either wants to do something that just like isn't good or is like Delver.
I get like real uncomfortable if it costs like more than 2.
All right, so number 5.
Number 5 for me is Meddling Mage.
Okay.
Yeah, Chris Pakula.
Yeah.
We talked about it. Plane Shift. Sweet. I opened one of these in Plane Shift when it was like actually first printed.
It's a good card.
It is. It's a good card. We talked about it a lot already.
Yeah, it's like slightly worse Reflector Mage.
Yeah, it is. It's probably too high for me. Though, yeah, I talked plenty about this already. I like Meddling Mage.
All right, my number 4. No, we're at number 5. My number 5 is Detention Sphere.
Yep, that's number 4 for me.
Okay. So Detention Sphere is the best O-ring in the format. It is.
No one plays this card. It like used to see play sometimes. No,
it's once again because blue-white control decks are back. Like all the blue-white control decks play at least one somewhere in their 75 because it's like it's the same reason that every Jund tech plays around 1 Maelstrom Pulse. Just because having Maelstrom Pulse in your deck means that you'll be able to answer some weird thing someone plays like a 5-mana Gideon or Dragon Lord. You know, like there's just like random stuff out there that being able to kill. And this gets all the, you know, they're literally the same card, but one's blue, white, and one's green, black.
So this was your number 5?
This was my number 5.
So then I know your top 4.
Maybe. I got an oddball in here.
You definitely don't. There's no way that your top 4 is any different.
What's your number 4?
My number 4 is Detention Sphere. Okay. I just said that. You don't listen when I talk.
What's your thoughts on Detention Sphere?
It's fine. I like am shocked with like how bad I think this list of cards is. I like can't believe it. I if you had said to me, Azorius cards top 10, like I'd be like, oh yeah, there's definitely 10 like very playable Azorius cards.
It's the combination of Azorius cards, and like 4 of these are, and I would say like
I have like Drog, Skull Captain, and Steel of the Godhead, and Swans in my top 10. And
but like 2-color pairs are all of them are going to be this way. We're just starting with blue white because that's the way the world goes.
You're right. I feel like it's going to be pretty good. Maybe
he's not thinking about it. So my number 4,
Golgari is going to be sweet. I'll bet.
Reflector Mage.
Yeah. Yep. That's
that so I mean, like the main thing this does is with Collected Company, Reflector Mage is just an insane card, and like you just the being able to instant speed put a Reflector Mage into play, bounce their thing, get tempo off of it, make it so on their next turn they can't even do the thing they did. And normally, if you get any 4-mana creature spell, they're done because that's like their end game. So like, how do you beat that?
Yep.
Just Reflector Mage is really sick. It's better than Meddling Mage, to be totally honest. It's very similar, but like it just is a much more versatile card. And Manowar has always been really good, so this is just a really good version of it.
I don't know that I would say strictly better.
Did I say strictly better?
You said better. It costs 3.
Yeah.
I mean, that's an issue. Things that cost 3 in modern.
Yeah, but
things,
that's better with Collected Company than a 2-drop.
Yeah, but also like...
And they're both humans?
To be totally fair...
I think they're both seeing play in the humans deck.
Yes, they are. Significant, like 3 and 4.
Yeah.
things that cost 3 in modern that do something when they enter are playable. Things that cost 3 in modern that don't do anything when they enter are way less playable.
Correct.
And like not
the difference between Reflector Mage and
Monastery Mentor.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's a problem. The 3-mana thing, if you play, like, it's so funny the difference between actually playing a 3-drop that doesn't do anything in modern, even though it's surrounded by good cards, like looking at it in your hand, and then like the concept of doing it and then the reality of doing it in modern is so different.
Well, part of the issue, and this is what, you know, we talked about this last week with when talking about Collected Company, is Collected Company flashing in 2/2s is fine, but not, you're not getting a value over it other than you're getting them for at flash, and it's random, and only like decks like Superior Burning Cocoa where really technically you're getting like a 5-drop that they've like undercosted but put weird restrictions on, like
sick
Mere Superior. But when you're getting 3-drops, that means you're literally cheating mana off of 2 of your spells. And so Reflector Mage, like, is so much more hyper-powered by Collected Company being in the deck. And it's, you know, we talked about a couple weeks ago the, you know, cards banned in Standard and what that means for relevance in Modern. And
it's a good thing
this
to pay
is
attention
one of
to.
Them.
Yep.
So definitely an important card, and I think it'll just see play forever. Like I don't
Reflect
see
Reflect,
unless they print something better or the format moves so away from Collected Company and creatures. Like that seems unlikely though.
Took a minute for people to catch on.
But that's true of a lot of cards.
Yeah, yeah. Always.
Like everyone's like, oh, standard didn't affect modern. The standard set's not going to do it. But then like 5 years later, I like look through every set. I'm like, oh, there's like 12 cards from this block.
Yeah, right.
Like how much of this set is from Return to Ravnica or standard in the last year and a half? Or last 2 years.
Totally. Yeah. Completely. My number three?
Yep.
Supreme Verdict.
Me too.
Yep. I knew where this is going. It'll be interesting to see the 1-2, though. I think I know, but I'll be very curious to see.
My guess is our top three is exactly the same.
Yeah, I think so, too.
So do you want to just talk about... Yeah. So we'll...
Verdict?
Yeah, Verdict.
Another card. I guess it's so interesting how color combination and the prominence of a color combination can determine, like, do you think a card is good and playable and modern? Because, like... This card has gone in and out of being played ever by anyone, but like obviously it's played more when the
it's one of the five best board wipes in the format. Of those five, it's the only one that is like a lock against decks that are playing creatures in blue mana. It is, you know, is Regenerate relevant in the format? No, then play Supreme Verdict versus Wrath of God, and that's kind of the main decision. Unless you're playing red and you want to play, like the difference with red is you get to play like Pyroclasm or
that new
those
one.
Like
the one
cycle that, one that you do 3 damage to each creature or Anger
cycle
of the Gods
or whatever.
I don't know.
Well, it's the three mana. It's the three. It's red one.
It's Anger of the Gods, but instead of exiling, you can cycle it.
Yeah,
and
play that on Scapeshift.
Yeah, and then you in Anger of the Gods has seen play forever. There's like the 3 mana red do 3 damage to every creature, and the 2 mana red do 2 damage to every creature category. And then there's the 4 mana destroy all creatures category. And I would say those are like the 3 board wipe categories of modern. And Supreme Verdict is comparable, if not better, than probably Wrath of God, and worse than Damnation, purely based on color availability and what like. Because it's sharing a space in white
right.
with Wrath of God, I would say Supreme Verdict is worse than Damnation purely from the fact that Damnation is the only card in Jund that they can play that says destroy all creatures. That's good. So
we had a whole conversation back when we did the incomplete cycles, right, about the can't be countered cycle.
Right.
Because isn't green-white the one that's missing a...
I believe green-white... Because red-black has the extra pate effect.
Right.
Blue white has this green
I'm trying to it's
white has no green white has the 4/4 for 3 that you can also get
oh,
discarded.
Yeah, that card's sweet.
I'm forgetting all of their names. But
yeah, okay.
Green,
so Abrupt Decay.
Abrupt Decay is the red.
We got Abrupt Decay, you've got Counterflux, Loxodon Smiter, Slaughter Games, and Supreme Verdict.
Yeah, that's Return to Ravnica.
No, because one of those is black green, a blue
black
red,
green,
white
no,
green, black red,
those
white
are the,
blue.
Those are the tribes in Return to Ravnica.
There's a oh.
It's Golgari, Selesnya, is it Rakdos and Azorius were
so
the five in Return
so
to Ravnica.
So they didn't do it for the other ones.
No, it was a cycle only in Return to Ravnica. The other one had the X spell cycle.
That's why I got it. Gotcha. All right, so...
I guess they all had an X spell, but one tribe didn't get an X spell. I think it's green-white.
They got an X spell. I can't think of what it's called. Something.
No, they didn't.
Really?
Yeah, not a rare one.
Hmm, okay.
We can talk about that later. All right, so you're number two.
My number two...
Is my boy?
No.
Really? We have different one and two?
That's why I said, I think.
Oh, my number two is...
I went Spellqueller.
Oh.
I went Spellqueller.
So my number two is Geist of St. Traft.
I know it is.
And is your number one Geist of St. Traft?
It absolutely is.
And is my number one Spellqueller?
You're just going so heavy on the recency bias right now.
I'm going on...
You've lost your roots.
Trying to lower my own bias of Geist of St. Traft should be number one. But
how
like,
did you put Geist at two?
Because it's a 2-of versus Spellqueller, which is a 4-of.
Currently, Spellqueller for like a little while has been like a big card, but like that's recent.
Yeah, but I think that's like a forever thing.
Maybe. Like, I don't know. Geist has been in and out of being a sweet card in Modern forever.
Yeah, but it's never been... Like, it randomly will be a 4-of, but those decks aren't, like, winning Pro Tours. I love Geist. Don't get me wrong. But, like...
You should be ashamed of yourself.
I also, like, didn't want to just be like, I'm putting Geist number one. Peace. I guess I should have just done
you
that.
You should have just done that.
Yeah. Life choices.
This
I try not
being
that
time.
Guy.
This is like you putting Darksteel Citadel at number four in the Artifacts episode.
I guarantee if we look back at the Artifacts episode, Darksteel Citadel is seeing more play than any card you had above it.
Spellskite?
Yeah.
Spellskite?
Darksteel Citadel is currently seeing way more play than Spellskite.
Yeah, it only took you 2 years to catch up to that one.
That's all I said was, at this point, Darksteel Citadel is seeing way more play than all of the artifacts you put above it from my position.
You put Spellskite at number 9. It was like dominant for years.
I'm not saying I didn't put Spellskite in the wrong place. I'm saying that Darksteel Citadel is great. Now, back to Geist of St. Traft for Spellqueller. This
more
is not that close. They're, like,
you
they're really
put
close.
Geist of St. Traft behind
Spellqueller. It's not embarrassing. I think Spellqueller is a better card than Geist of St. Traft. I'm not saying I like it more. I'm saying it is a better card.
Unbelievable.
Almost 90% of the time, I want a Spellclaw in my hand than a Geist.
Burn your Geists, guys. Take your signed Geist that we sent you and burn them, because you have been disgraced right alongside myself.
No, favorites are not the best. Your favorite cards are not good. They're just your favorite.
That's just a personal opinion.
But no, I mean, both of these cards. So Geist of St. Traph, for those who don't know. One blue white 2/2 hexproof. When it attacks, put a 4/4 angel with flying into play, tapped and attacking, and then exile it at the end of turn or end of combat. He's a lot of damage. He's really hard to deal with. If you can get him into play and then make it so he can just attack for freebies, you are likely winning the game because you're getting in, you know, 4 to 6 damage every turn. And so, like, just it was dominant standard. It's been very good in every kind of blue white fashion. It's, you know, to be totally honest, if you're playing Ojutai Dragon Lord over Geist, I think you're wrong. And it's just it does a lot of really powerful things and is the best. And he's cool. He's got this giant sword and he's got an angel friend. And if you have what's the Sundial of the Infinite, you can keep the angel tokens forever.
Sick. Iganjo Castle.
There are now going to be 2 foil versions of the angel token you can get. There's the new one from Unglued that has the full art on the back, or you can get the half demon, half one that's from the vaults. The Hell Vault promo thing that they did 10 years ago.
Geist has seen a lot of play recently, especially. It's popped back up. People have been playing it again.
I partly think it's because of my number one. That's I think why I put Spellclaw higher, is I think Geist's recent return and blue white doing so well over the last year
is definitely because of Spellclaw.
Is because of Spellclaw
and Reflector Mage in a small different way, but as far as the decks we're talking about, it's funny because, like, they popped up and it was like the first list was like four Geist. You're like, oh, these Team Geist decks are doing great with like 3 Spellquellers in the deck. And then you'd see more of them. It's like 3 Geist. You see another one. It's 2 Geist, 4 Spellqueller.
Like, all of these decks are playing somewhere between 2 and 4 Spellqueller. Only the Geist ones are playing Geist.
Yes.
Like, which is like Geist is a deck versus Spellqueller, which is a generically good blue white card.
Yeah.
But that's why I put it higher.
It's just funny that, like, again, it took this long for people to just be like, I think probably those Jeskai Flash decks should just be Jeskai Flash decks that play 4 Spellqueller, because that card's nuts.
A 3-mana 2/3 flyer that comes in and counters a spell is real good.
Real good.
It's just real good. Like, anytime you attach an effect like that to a creature, it's going to be decent. Like, people still try and make that snake work.
Oh.
The blue-green.
Mystic Snake.
Yeah, Mystic Snake.
Yeah.
People still try and make that card work, and it's just strictly worse than Spellqueller.
Eric Weidetz loves that card so much. It's not strictly worse, because it permanently counters, and Spellqueller doesn't.
Yeah, but it's not strictly worse, but a 2/2 for 4 is significantly worse than a 2/3 flash for 3
with
flying.
No doubt.
like ignore the counterspell half.
also the fact that that we were talking about Seal of the Godhead, and like I did a whole thing on it. So actually, this is a good thing to point out.
Both of these cards are really good with Seal of the Godhead.
Yeah. I take all of the Anchor episodes, and I group them into like 10-ish minutes, and
okay.
I put them up as podcasts, so you can find them all on all of the different podcast apps now as 10 Minutes of Modern.
Sure.
And I get behind sometimes, and I have to go back. And so last night I did 10 days worth of them. So if you guys are behind and you wanted to hear any of the episodes, I actually talk a bunch about that. I think Steel of the Godhead, like, I just missed it, and that card's actually just like kind of bonkers all of a sudden, because I think that the fact that the Spellqueller and Reflector Mage were printed just makes that deck I was trying to build so much better. Like, I think you can build like a real deck now. It sucks because it's so 3-drop heavy, and like, you actually want to just be playing all the 3-drops. You want to be playing Geist, Spellquellers, and Reflector Mages, but because Steel of the Godhead's a 3-drop, you just can't do it. You have to pick and choose, and I think probably the move is
getting rid of Steel of the Godhead and playing Bant and playing Coco instead and getting just all of the value. Imagine like Cocoing someone at the end of turn and getting Geist of St. Traft and Reflector Mage into play.
Seems dope.
That's like spicy in a way that, like, I'm just going to build this deck tonight when I go home. The problem is like, you're like not playing spells in this deck.
The problem is you can't hit Steel of the Godhead off of Coco. Now, if Coco could hit Steel of the Godhead,
like, come Coco. The problem is that, like, Geist needs you to have like bounce spells and removal spells, and Coco doesn't want you to have those.
Reflector Mage bounces things for Geist.
I know. That's why I started that. That's where I led.
Seems quite good.
Imagine casting Coco in response to someone casting a spell, countering their spell with Spellqueller, and just getting a free Geist in play.
Spellqueller into Geist of St. or Spellqueller into Steel of the Godhead is the truth. That's like what we should be doing. That's a good thing. That's a legitimately powerful thing. End of turn, you counter the spell. Then on your turn, you play a thing that makes your creature now a 4/5 flying unblockable lifelink. And like, if you have one mana open to like have your, because now your Stubborn Denial is live.
I understand why Steal the Godhead is really good with Spell Queller, but I don't know if I would use the term, that's just what we should be doing.
Here's what I think. I just mentioned it. Stubborn Denial is very good. I also think Spell Pierce is very good.
I am HO.
And Dispel is good. And they all cost one, which means that that whole like three and then four and then three drop the next turn with one mana open thing is just like something we should probably be thinking about doing. Because that seems good. All right. Good deal. Mana Tithe? I played a one of Mana Tithe in the deck the other day and it was sweet. What if we just played Mana Tithe in this deck? And now instead of all these one mana blue counter spells that are conditional, you just have Mana Tithe as your card. That seems good. It's a format of one drops and two drops. It's a hard counter, Alex.
It's a format where grindy decks are only playing one drops and two drops.
All right, let me just beat you.
How often does Grixis Control tap out? Or how often does Grixis Death Shadow tap out?
I'm not sure. I'm through with you. Let's move
all right,
on.
All right. Top. Okay, so that was the top 10. Spellcore and Geist's Hand Draft. Tied for number one.
Sick.
Supreme Verdict, strong three. Everything, yeah. So here's the point. There's not a lot of gold cards, but the gold cards that are good are real good.
Yeah.
And the gold cards that aren't good, it drops off quickly. But I think even some of these. But we're going to talk about the gold cards that are sweet. So those who don't know, every top 10 episode, we mentioned this earlier in the cast, we do a battle off of the sweet blue-white cards versus the good ones, or the sweet cards of that ranking list versus the good ones, and ones that we wish saw more play.
Yep.
And we each time each other, we get a minute or 30 seconds?
30 seconds.
We get 30 seconds to kind of make a pitch for what the card is. We get to describe what the card is, and then we get to make a 30-second pitch for what the card does. And then we are going to post this as polls on the Facebook group and or Twitter. I'm going to do the Facebook group this time. I think that'll be more fun. And the winner of all five rounds, best out of five, gets a free dinner.
Wow, you were right. Is it as bad? Jeez, I'm already in the four drops, and I have six cards.
That's next time we do one of these.
Unbelievable.
All right, I'm going to let you go first.
Sick.
Now, you have your cards listed and ranked already, right? So you can't change them around.
We don't rank these.
They're not ranked, but you have your list in order ahead of time, and you're not going to switch it around.
I don't know. Do I?
You better. That's how this works.
I need to.
All right, so number one.
Coming in hot.
Am I going first?
I don't know. Are you going to time me?
I'm going to let you go first since I'm currently in the lead. And
number one, a card very close to my heart. Ready?
You have to read what the card says and then you get timed.
Okay. So number one, this is a card that is called Sphinx's Revelation. Blue, blue, white, X, instant. You gain X life and draw X cards. This card should see more play. It's the premier draw spell. It also gains you life in modern. It's a great as a one or a two of. Plays very well in the blue-white control decks and the Izzet or the Jeskai decks. This card really just should see more play and doesn't. I think people could, you know, ramp into it, max out on it, do better things with it. And yeah, it's a very good card.
You have 10 seconds left.
That's cool. I think I said everything I needed to say.
Okay. You ready to time me?
Yeah.
Let me get to the card so I know what I'm talking about. All right. My number one is Failure to Comply. This is the new Aftermath card. Blue, colorless for failure. Return target spell to its owner's hand. It's an instant. And then Comply. Choose a card name until your next turn. Until your next turn, your opponents can't cast that spell with the chosen name. The reason this card is sweet is because it just wrecks Ancestral Visions. If you've ever cast this against one, you both get to either counter it, returning it to their hand, making them fail, or cast Comply while it's exiled, making it so they can't cast it. It also is just generically a decent card because you can discard it to Collective Brutality or other effects, being able to cast it from your graveyard, and has decent matchups against combo decks like Storm if you want to stop them from doing kind of their whole Storm business and counter their spells. So it's a little bit of versatile. It's definitely a little bit weaker, but the fact that you can play from your graveyard gives it a lot of bonus
and
points.
All right. My number two is going to be Ojutai's Command. Ojutai's Command is a super sick card. It is originally printed in cons. It dragons. It is blue, white, 2 for an instant. Choose 2. To return target creature card with a converted mana cost 2 or less from your graveyard to the battlefield, you gain 4 life. Counter target creature spell or draw a card. All right, let's talk about why this card's good. First of all, cards in Modern that for one thing do two different things are very, very good. This one is criminally underplayed. This card interacts extremely well with Mirror Superior and was one of the early adopters in my design of cards I wanted to play with that card. I have said it many times, but things that reference mana cost to be able to take advantage of mana cost as opposed to other factors are very powerful. 4 life is relevant. Drawing a card is great. This card is not as good as Cryptic Command, but is, I think, probably the second best overall of the commands. Even better than Atarka's Command. That is my opinion. I think Ojitai's Command is sweet and deserves to see more play.
Colligan's Command?
What? I said second best.
Command
of the dragons.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. My number 2. Get into the pulling up because. All right. My number 2 is Mist Meadow Witch. It is a blue-white hybrid for 1 and 1 Kithkin Wizard, 1-1, 2 mana, blue and white, exile target creature, return that card to the battlefield under its owner's control at the beginning of your next end step. If you have never played against this card, I'm ready to start if you're timing. If you've never played against this card while they're untapped, it's actually impossible to beat. Having the ability to blink things and then save them until out of turn, it saves it from board wipes. It makes it impossible to remove spells, not to mention you get to do all of that sweet, sweet, sweet spell queller slash... Or not spell card, Reflective Mage business. This card is one of the best blink cards you can have there for a control player that can play with mana untapped and is just the new hotness.
Well, you have now 3 more seconds. You're done.
Yeah.
Great. Look at you.
Yeah.
Congratulations. Mist Meadow Witch, you just lost that one so hard against Ojitai's Command. It's not even close.
I don't think you have a chance here.
I think you're crushed.
I think I like sweeter cards than you.
No, definitely not. All right. I'm going to go with my next one. Ready? This one is called Narset Resplendent. Just kidding. Narset Transcendent. Blue, white, 2. Planeswalker Narset. +1. Look at the top card of your library. If it's a non-creature, non-land card, you may reveal it and put it into your hand. -2. When you cast your next instant or sorcery spell from your hand this turn, it gains rebound. -9. You get an emblem with your opponents can't cast non-creature spells, and it comes down with 6 loyalty. All right, here we go. Narset. This is a planeswalker that comes down on 6. It pluses to 7. Just like Karn, planeswalkers that have that much loyalty are very, very hard to deal with. If you start thinking about this in conjunction with things that already do like 2-for-1s, like a Cryptic Command, or just like generally things that are powerful and create tempo, when you -2 to get the rebound effect on this, this can be absolutely backbreaking. I think the combination of the fact that this has seven loyalty when you plus it, or even after you minus it, that still sits at 4 loyalty for 4 mana. There's so many blue-white tempo cards that want to play with this card that really, really deserve the power.
Keep going over.
I'm excited. You know?
Last time with 33 seconds, too. You're picking cards with a lot of text on them. I'll give you a little bit of a slide. All right, ready?
Yeah.
My number 3 is Sovereigns of Lost Alara.
Oh, yeah. This card's
blue-white 4, 6 mana. Creature spirit, 4/5, exalted, which means whenever a creature you control attacks alone, that creature gets +1/+1 until end of turn. Whenever a creature you control attacks alone, you may search your library for an aura card that could enchant to that creature, put it into play, attach to that creature, then shuffle your library. Ray?
Yeah.
Sovereign's Lost Alara is sick because of the fact that you can get any enchantment put into play, put on a Geist, put it on any other one of the creatures you have, but specifically a Geist. The best thing to get is... the Eldrazi enchantment that gives a creature +10/+10.
Conscription.
Eldrazi conscription, +10/+10 and Annihilator 1, allowing that creature to do tons of damage. I think I've one-shot killed more people with Sovereigns of Lost Alara and Geist and an Eldrazi conscription than any other card combination in the history of me playing this game.
Pretty good.
All right, number 4.
Pretty good. I'll give you Sovereigns. It's pretty good, but you know, you're still going to lose. All right, ready?
I haven't lost yet.
Yeah.
For the record, we've done at least 15 top 10s I haven't lost.
That's outrageous. All right, next up, my next card is called Avon Mimeomancer. Blue, white.
Wait, really?
1, yeah, for a 3-1 flying bird wizard. At the beginning of your upkeep, you may put a feather counter on target creature. If you do, that creature is 3-1 and has flying as long as it has a feather counter on it. What's not to say about Avon Mimeomancer? This card is sick. This card is better than Avon Mind Sensor. Just kidding, it's not. This card is so good with mana creatures. Think about that. You play a mana creature. You play this guy on turn 2. The next turn, your mana creature becomes a 3-1 flyer. You attack for 6. I love this card. The fact that it's a 3-1 flyer for 3 in the first place is already good. 3-1 flyers for 3. See play in Modern. Modern. They're good. This card deserves to see more play, and the fact that you play this with like 6 or 7 mana creatures, you have an army, an absolute army of bird wizards that are just going to be crazy and do kind of all crazy kinds of damage. There you go. Avon Mimeomancer. Drop the mic.
All right. My number four is Venser the Sojourner. He is 5-mana planeswalker. He is +2, exile target permanent you own, return it to the battlefield under your control at the beginning of the next end step. -1, creatures are unblockable this turn, and -8, you get an emblem with whenever you cast a spell, exile target permanent. This is probably my favorite planeswalker of all time. The +2 is like very powerful. There are a lot of ETBs you want to kind of abuse in our top 10. There's stuff like Reflector Mage, as we mentioned, but then you get into stuff like there's a Rhino that when it enters the battlefield, they lose their attack step. That is a soft lock against them.
Just kidding. I cough. Keep going.
But, -2, creatures are unblockable. We already talked about getting Geist in with the blockable damage is really good. And then the -8 is actually unbeatable. I don't think I've ever lost playing it. I have lost because someone has stolen him and stole my emblem with a steal effect and then beat me with their exile effects.
Actual.
Spicy. I feel like I should get 5 extra seconds because you ant in the middle of my turn. That's just so messed
that was
up.
Ridiculous.
You're the worst.
Venser the Sojourner. Ridiculous. All right. Last but not least, I've got a sweet card. This one is called Pride of the Clouds. You're going to lose this one. There's no way you can win this one. Blue, white, 1/1 flying. It's an elemental cat. Pride of the Clouds gets +1/+1 for each other creature in play with flying, and then it has forecast, blue, white, 2, reveal Pride of the Clouds from your hand, put a 1/1 white and blue bird creature token with flying into play. Okay, Pride of the Clouds, let's talk about this. First of all, there's a blue-white skies deck that exists in Modern that people just don't play. Like, favorable Winds exists, you can just do this, you can play this deck. Also, the fact that you can play Lingering Souls in this deck and just turn it into Esper is even better. The fact that this is just a lord, he's a 1/1 flying elemental cat for 2 that's just a lord for all your flying creatures, this card's actually good. This card is like there's a real deck there, and the fact that forecast exists means that extra copies of this can just sit in your hand creating card advantage. Why isn't this played? This is good. This is actually a real Magic card. People are crazy.
There is the blue white
Steel of the Godhead. Steel of the Godhead.
there is that blue white budget flyers deck that's always been kind of on the fringe of really good.
You're talking about the one that plays the Sky Hussar.
Yeah. The deck's sweet.
Yeah, totally.
We probably should have talked about those cards more.
Sky Hussar.
Yeah, that deck's like a blue-white deck that is always just on the fringe of good. I think that some of those cards are definitely better than Ojutai. all right, last but not least, ready? My number 5 is Azorius Guildmage.
You snake. You changed it.
white-blue, Vedalken Wizard. 2 white, tap target creature. 2 blue, counter target activated ability. Mana abilities cannot be targeted. It is a 2/2. There's a good argument that the guild mages are underplayed. Anytime you untap with this guy, you basically have the ability to kind of lock your opponent out. You can use its second ability to get rid of fetch lands. You can tap creatures down willy-nilly, which is really good to protect yourself. Countering activated abilities in general, it just has a whole slew of really powerful things that you can be doing with it. And it's a 2/2 for 2. It's always good. You're getting good mana off of it. Definitely does a lot of things you want to be doing with it. Very versatile, very powerful. Definitely not my number 5.
With 1 second to spare. Look at you.
Down in my head.
Yeah. Guildmage. All right, fine. You were just going to say Mimeomancer, but you swapped it.
Yeah, because you did it already.
You snake.
I had a backup. I didn't want to do a repeat.
Yeah.
I was going to. My whole argument for Mimeomancer was because of the memes, and then I was going to drop my mic and leave the room.
The Mimeomancer?
Yeah.
Oh, that's pretty funny. All right, there you go. That's our. We're going to put these up on Twitter, so go follow us on Twitter, at the MMCast.
Yep.
You can find me at Ben Baby Media.
I'm at Kes Wiley.
Go check out the Anchor app, 10 Minutes of Modern every day.
Make sure to check out the Patreon. It's how we pay for stuff. Make sure to go to ThinkGeek and buy Super Party Battle. It's really fun.
Yeah, it's really fun.
It's a party game. It plays like Magic, though, so you don't have to be drinking. It's fun for everyone. It's 14+. You get to recruit college kids on a campus, and they all have cool King's Cup-like rules where you have to pretend to be wacky characters and do wacky things or sing a song or row a boat or do push-ups, and just everything's a blast.
Yeah, I love rowing boats.
Go buy it.
Yeah, sick.
All right, thanks guys for listening. Hope you guys like the top 10. And obviously vote for me because my stuff is better than Ben's. His bet cards are dumb.
Bye, right, guys.
Bye.
Thank you for your attention. See you later, alligator. Thank you for your attention. See you later, alligator.